Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe, and I've got Venerable Tom Dorian rocking his mic.
Yes, sir.
Yes, and I have Ziggy Stardust Rodriguez. He's here.
That's me.
You know, somebody emailed one time and said, like, there's that other guy on there. What's his, it's like his name is Stardust or something? Like, that's okay. I was the reference that some people don't get, but that's okay.
So we're affirming that it is a David Bowie reference and not the little guy from the cartoons.
That's exactly. Well, I don't know who that is, and that's scary.
You ever saw Ziggy comics?
No.
Okay.
All right. I'm one of those people. Like, I am not cool. So
you've seen Ziggy comics?
Of course I have.
Thank you.
When did they come out?
They were like in the newspaper. The little bald guy.
What is a newspaper? I'm not sure. I don't remember. Anyway. All right. Okay. All right. So first of all, I just want to. I just literally day before yesterday got back from the National Eucharistic Congress, and it was absolutely phenomenal. Maybe we'll have an opportunity to talk more about it. There's a ton of people talking about it. It was really successful. Close to 60,000 people, I think, were there in Indianapolis. Wow. Lots of big names, but really the biggest name is Jesus. And the liturgies and the music, especially this group called Floriani. I want to give them a shout out. Floriani. Floriani. There's four lay guys that are essentially trying to promote sacred music, keep music sacred in the church. And they sung one night as a little scola, you know, for adoration for 60,000 people. And it was the most beautiful adoration I have ever experienced. It is so cool. So check out Floriani. I know that they're, they're on all the different music. They're on Spotify and I know Apple Music and Amazon. So listen to their music. It's absolutely beautiful, and they could use your help in saving sacred music so our music doesn't become, just passé. But also, while I was there, I have to give two shout-outs to a couple of folks that just came to me and said, "Are you..." And it was Ralph somebody, and I said, "No, I'm not." But I said, "I'm Deacon Jeff." "Oh, you're that guy." Anyway, I just wanted to give them shout outs. One is Deacon David Bartolowitz. He's out of Indianapolis, Indiana. And then there was another nice lady who I don't want to get her in trouble because she was a volunteer, and they said to the volunteers, "Don't talk to the famous people," which I do not claim to be famous, but she asked me, "Are you that Deacon Jeff?" And I said, "I am. If you're referring to the radio thing, if there's some other scandal or something, that's not me." But her name is Teresa Campos, and she's from Ventura, California. So Teresa and Deacon Bartolowitz, you guys are awesome. Great. They're both loyal listeners of the Catholic Cafe, and I just told them I would give them a shout-out.
It's amazing that they recognized you, because I know you had the little Groucho Marx glasses to avoid the
paparazzi. Yeah, the big nose and the plastic mustache that was on there. Yeah. Yeah. And
good
I
luck.
Think... I think that only actually got more people to look at me. So it did not do what it was supposed to do. And I'm going to be honest with you, it didn't look good in the liturgy, so they had me take it off. Anyway, all that aside, we are continuing our Summer of Holy Matrimony here at the Catholic Cafe. And we're still talking about the theology of marriage, and we're focusing on the four marks of marriage, that God's love is a model for marital love. And also the source of marital love and the source of all genuine love, and that we need, the way God loved us is the way that we need to love each other in marriage. We come to this freely and totally, faithfully and fruitfully. And we're talking about the fourth one today, and that is love is fruitful. For it to be genuine love, that love must be fruitful. And, you know, when you look at God's love, it's silly that God's love is not merely just emotion. "Oh, this makes me feel so good." Mm-hmm. I mean, it does feel good, but it's not for the sake of emotion and the sake of feeling good. You know, a lot of people think of love as an emotion, and it is part of an emotional, you know, the emotion is part of love. It's definitely part of it. But at the same time, it's not a meaningless process that's just there to make someone feel good. I mean, fruitful love God's love is fruitful, and it gives it meaning. It's part of the meaning of his love, that is this love accomplishes something. And in the case of God the Father loving God the Son, and God the Son loving God the Father with such intensity, that it eternally spirates the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is eternally made present through that love, then that means God's love, if any genuine love, must be fruitful, and certainly must be open to bearing fruit. And that's where we see from the very beginning in Genesis. There's a beautiful quote. We've all heard it before. Essentially, where God is telling us to be fruitful and multiply, right? So to be fruitful and multiply, this is God's command to us as human beings. And he understood what he was doing. It took us a while to figure it out. But the reality is, we see now in hindsight, especially looking at that that command to be fruitful and multiply, we see that if we are genuinely loving the other for the sake of the other, as Thomas Aquinas said, that love will be fruitful. It will bear fruit. And so that's what we do as Catholics. Now, this isn't just about making babies. Babies are certainly a beautiful gift from God through marriage, and they're intended to be. And so that's why fruitfulness in marriage is that. But also, I just want to, for those who are out there thinking like, well, is it all about making a bunch of kids? I mean, we're supposed to be baby factories as Catholics. Well, first of all, I think the world would be a better place if we were. But the baby factory is a terrible way to express it. It's kind of a unseemly, kind of a nasty expression. I don't like to see it that way. But a very fruitful marriage is one that bears great fruit. Now, it's not just about the babies. It's also about joy and life and love and happiness, so that a married couple can walk into a room and then everyone says like, wow, what is up with those people? They seem so happy and filled with joy. Mm-hmm. There is something beautiful about that. Well, that is a fruit of marriage. And that also is kind of like a great, we'll just say a neon sign to others, a witness to others to say, y'all need this too. This is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Right? And so being fruitful in marriage is not just about having kids, but you know what? It's also all about having kids.
Right. I mean, the joy that a married couple experiences in only grows and intensifies as they grow in trust in God, and by that trust in one yes. another, and giving themselves in that full, faithful, way.
Yes.
And so as a result, I mean, I think on one hand, it is important if people are dating and they're trying to, they should pay attention to the fruitfulness of the dating side of the relationship in right. the non,
Dating is interviewing for marriage.
Right.
It really is ultimately.
Right. And obviously you're not paying attention, you're not going to be engaging in any sort of acts prior to marriage.
No, you are not going to be fruitful in dating.
Right. But you can still be fruitful spiritually in
Amen.
Dating, and all of that still matters.
Right.
And you know, you want to pay attention. Is there bad fruit or is there good fruit from this? And those are key markers of a whether or not God might be calling you to move forward in that direction or not.
Well, and then there's some people that will ask the question like, well, wait a second, is the church saying that like two people that aren't able to have children, right? Why can't they love each other and get married? And so we have to get a little deeper into that and find out, what do you mean by can't have children? If somebody is infertile, right, medically they've discovered or realized that they're not going to have the children, or if someone is like very advanced in age, and we don't, love making in marriage is meant to be all the way through marriage. Mm-hmm. Like our human bodies are capable of amazing and great things, even into advanced age. And all the church asks essentially is that we are open to marriage, that there's no artificial or, spiritual barriers that we put up and say, well, I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. Right? That we don't have any artificial means in which we, or even a heart that says, I don't want to have children. In these situations, or if a person is not capable, like physically, of doing the basics that are involved in that act, right? And so we don't have to go into the detail, you know what I'm talking about. If there's someone who has a tragic injury where they're missing certain parts or whatever, these are reasons why, because in marital love, being fruitful is an integral part and a required and necessary part, being open to that, to God's prompting and God blessing the marriage. So if you cannot complete the marital act, that's one reason why you, the church can't marry you, right? We don't have the authority to marry a couple that cannot have children, cannot complete the act. Because the thing is, miracles happen, even in advanced age, and miracles happen in all situations. Your heart needs to be open to the fruit of that marriage. You need to be open to having children with every single marital act that you encounter, right? That you complete. That's what that fruitfulness means. It doesn't mean that you are judged by how many kids you have. You're not. You're judged by how open you are to life. Mm-hmm. That's the judgment. That's the important part. So sometimes it's a hard thing to hear for some folks. They go like, well, that's not fair to people. Well, there's also, we're called to different things. Maybe it's fraternal, like friendships or good close friends in situations where you're not able to engage in that act for one reason or another. But the thing is, at the end of the day, if we understand the basics of what marriage is all about with these four types of love, then you start to realize that being fruitful, literally being open to God's blessing your marriage with the fruit of children. And then also from that comes also the fruit of joy and happiness just in your marriage. I mean, Bess and I were married, I think we're two years before before she was pregnant. And honestly, I would not look at those first 2 years and say, oh, they were unfruitful. They were terribly without joy. There was nothing in our marriage until this baby came along. And neither of us would ever say that. Mm-hmm. There was a tremendous amount of joy, and we were open to life all that time, right? And then God blessed us with the first of nine children, and how beautiful that was. And it's not, we like to think of our kids as rewards to us because God loves us so much, but it's not that either. It's not about how many kids you have. It's about how open you are to life.
And if you have, if there's a couple who's listening who are in a loving, fruitful marriage with one another, but they're struggling with infertility, like, first of all, there's a lot of families who are out there who are struggling with that same thing. It's extremely common. And, you know, if both of you are, you know, sharing that true, faithful, fruitful relationship with one another, and you're desiring to grow in, you know, in fruitfulness, adoption can also be a great way to kind of welcome God's children into your family. And that also can be an extension of fruitfulness in people's lives as well. But they also have, there also has to be that physical openness to life within the couple too.
And then you speak of the physical openness to life. There's also those folks that come together in marriage and say, well, we don't want to have kids.
Yeah.
You know, we're not really, you know, the world has overpopulated itself, and we don't really, with the resources and stuff, I think the most responsible thing we can do is not have children. Well, the problem with that is that, like, this this becomes kind of an intellectual contraception, right? It becomes a barrier that we've put up in front of God and say, God, we realize you're God, but we don't really care. You know, and I know that sounds heartless to say it that way, but effectively, that's what you're doing. You're saying, I don't trust God. We don't want to have children. Well, in that situation, the church is like not able to marry you, right? We're not permitted to marry a couple or to witness the marriage of that couple. And a lot of people, again, see that as like, well, then isn't love really just, I mean, marriage isn't just about love, how we feel towards each other. It's like, remember, love is not just a feeling. There is emotion involved. But there's all of these other aspects to it that take it beyond feeling, but into an existential kind of a thing. And we have to remember that love at its very core is fruitful. Mm-hmm. Love at its very core is fruitful and is intended always to bear fruit in that experience, and that essentially what we do when we come together on that wedding night and every subsequent time we come together in the marital embrace, the couple is actually speaking the vows that they take, right? They're speaking that consent to each other. And that if we are not open to life, if we're not open to babies, we're not open to that aspect of having our marriage essentially blessed by God in a fruitful way, then what essentially we're doing is making a mockery of the vows. Because we vow to these things. And that's why I think it's important that, looking again at free, total, faithful, and fruitful, looking at those four marks, when you do the marriage marriage ceremony, like when you are actually celebrating matrimony and you're there on the wedding night, there are words that are spoken, there are questions that are asked in front of everyone, and either you have to lie, which we don't want you to do, or you embrace fully what God has in store for your marriage. And the church asks, on behalf of the entire church, ask the couple these questions. So there's these questions that come before the consent. The consent is the vow, of the vows that are taken. And they're beautiful, but it's not all about the vows. There's these questions. Before you speak these sacred vows to each other, this consent to each other, first, we're going to ask you a few questions, right? There's three of them, but all four of the four marks are covered in those three questions. So basically you're saying out loud that you agree that your love is going to be free, it's going to be total, it's going to be faithful, and it's going to be fruitful. And those questions are, name and name, Tom and Cindy, have you come here to enter into marriage without coercion, freely and wholeheartedly? So that's free and total. Mm-hmm. And you have to each, the couple, have to each answer out loud, so that the priest or deacon who is witnessing the marriage can hear you. And separately, the answer can't be, we do, or we have, or we will. It's got to be, I have,
right,
and I have. So each person says their marriage is going to, their love is free and total, right? So wholeheartedly. And then the second question, are you prepared as you follow the path of marriage to love and honor each other for as long as you both shall live, right? So that's faithful. I am, and I am. Not we am, mm-hmm. It's I am, and I am. Right? It's answered separately. Are you prepared to accept children lovingly from God and bring them up according to the law of Christ and His church? I am, and I am. Right? So there it is. Free, total, faithful, and fruitful are all asked by the church. Then the vows then reflect that. And there's different options for vows that are provided by the church. The most common, Cindy, take you, Tom, for my lawful husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until death do us part. That's a beautiful commitment being made, but only after you've agreed to those four marks. And then some of the marks are there present in those in that consent as well. But all of this happens so that when people come together, everyone clearly knows what they're called into, clearly knows what they're agreeing to, and clearly knows from whence the love comes, where it's going, and what we're supposed to do with this love. The love that comes from God is it's freely given. It's given to us in completely, totally, fully, right? And also that love is given to us faithfully. It will always be there. And also it is given to us fruitfully. It will bear fruit once we accept, as we accept all of these things. All of these are marks of God's love to us, and they're marks of God's love in your marriage. And any marriage that doesn't have all four of these marks, it's not good. I'll just say it that way. Mm-hmm. Someone's going to be visiting the tribunal at some point in time, because it's going to be a love based on human desire, human emotion, and it might be partially focused on God. And there are well-meaning people that do that. But any time that we step into the middle of any of those four things, whether we coerce someone through pressure, well, we really should get married because it's going to save us on our tax dollars. It's going to take care of this and that or whatever. Or I think we just don't tell our parents, let's just do this or what. Those are the kind of things that's like, whoa, you're kind of making this into something secretive, and there's some kind of coercion or pressure or something going on, or someone's got a baby out of wedlock and we have to do this. You know, if that happens, and certainly if it's like, well, we don't really need to have kids. Maybe we'll be open to kids one day, but right now, no. Well, there's problems there too, right? And I understand there are natural and ways in which the church helps us to understand. If you read Humanae Vitae, you'll understand that the church realizes that we, and we'll talk more about Humanae Vitae in a bit, in one of our future shows that are coming up. But essentially, there are ways in which we can space births in a way that's responsible, right? God did give us reason, but he did not give us reason so that we would supplant or superimpose our humanity over his divinity, right? So we never can do that. We always need to be listening to his promptings. But all that said, when we enter into this sacred bond of holy matrimony with a false vision or false understanding of any of these four marks, then we have a problem.
Well, and one thing to say, too, is, you know, with free, total, faithful, fruitful, I'm sure on that list, everybody, you know, in marriage or who is preparing for marriage, they have some growth area that they might need to work on. They might say, you know what, I haven't done a great job of making a really total gift of myself to my spouse. I've really held back in this way or that way. Or, you know, at the end of the day, we... You know, what's needed is that you recognize that these things are what we are called to do as a part of the marriage vocation, and to try to overcome those and to say, it's really important. If I'm going to live out my vocation, I really need to make a total gift of myself. I don't need to say, well, Sunday morning belongs to me because that's NFL day.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, and things like that. It really, we, you know, these four marks can challenge us individually to grow and that's another thing that's important. And, of course, just prayer generally is going to be a blessing to a marriage because, ultimately, openness to grace is going to bring about fruitfulness within
right,
a marriage.
And openness
as well.
To God's promptings.
Yes.
And
yes.
We can get those through prayer.
Right.
Right? I mean, you know, for me, it's napping. You know, that's how God talked to St. Joseph. But prayer, essentially, is integral. You know, and we'll talk about some of these things that help make a marriage stronger. But all those things that you just mentioned, Ziggy, were really important to understand that you know, in a very practical way, we want our marriage to be successful, like by the standards of the world. We don't want to get divorced. It's not just about avoiding divorce, but it is about those four marks and living the most joy-filled, happy, fruitful gift of a marriage your entire life. That is the goal. And so you can look at the world and still go like, yeah, that's a successful marriage. And you can look at, you know, people in all, you know, odds against them, maybe in Hollywood, you think like, man, Hollywood is just a terrible place to be married. And in a lot of ways it is. But the reality is there's a couple of examples of people who are stars and went through, did all the stuff in Hollywood, all the temptations, all the problems and all the fans and stuff like that, and they've been married for many, 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 many years. You know, there's just lots of folks that are like that, and so in all walks of life, and we want our marriages to be successful. And God has a plan for us that if we integrate fully these four marks into our marital love, then that is the greatest chance for success. I mean, at the very core of this, right, is if you do these things, if you live this way, if you love this way, you'll love forever and ever until death do you part in a joy-filled, beautiful, fruitful relationship. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, what's important, I think, is that these four marks are present in every marriage. And really, we discover that they're there before, right? We discover these four marks, understand them, talk about them, pray about them, and we live them in the courtship, partially for some, but really ultimately so that they can be lived fully in the actual marriage. And this is what's going to be a beautiful marriage. And what needs to happen, essentially, using different words, it's like this, that we each, as husband and wife, need to be able to say to the other, I love you of my own free will, without pressure or coercion, with no strings attached. I love you and you alone with my entire being, soul, mind, and heart. I will love you forever until death do us part. and I love you with such intensity that I desire our love to bear the fruits of life, light, and hope. And in like manner, I receive your free, total, faithful, and fruitful love. Now, when you can say that to each other, I promise you, you have a successful marriage. If you say those things, now, you can say them and not mean them, and that's a whole different story, and that's not good. But if you mean this, when you say this, if you feel to the very core of your heart that you believe this and your spouse believes this, I promise you, that's the answer. Doesn't mean you won't have bumps in the road. Doesn't mean there won't be problems or issues that you have to overcome, challenges, right? But it does mean that you are literally living in God's love, and that you are going down a path that's going to lead you closer to God, and ultimately both of you, husband and wife, into heaven, mm-hmm. right? Where your marriage has been a foretaste of life in heaven of essentially your marriage, you know, at the great wedding banquet, the feast in heaven, that all of this was preparation for. And that's such a beautiful idea. And I think about my in-laws, Mimi and Vic Truey, who just celebrated their 70th wedding anniversary. Hmm. It's just incredible that a marriage like that, what stands as a testament. And I'm getting ready to go back to Cincinnati to visit my brother-in-law, who's also a deacon, Deacon Mark Westendorf, and his wife, Mary Tom. They're going to be celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary.
That's great.
I got 36 years, heading on 37. Tom, you got a bunch of years as well, right? Yeah. So let's just keep praying for these four marks of marriage and these four marks of love. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.